Welcome to the Dark Star Adventure Cast, where the stars are cold, the void is endless, and dangers lurk in every shadow. Out here, trust is a gamble, and survival is never guaranteed. On tonight's Adventure Cast...
Yeah, jumping and punching. I'm gonna find some joy here.
Oh, you're speaking my language. Let me take a look at those.
That's your language?
Damn, you look good when you back that thing up. You a fine looking robot when you back that thing up.
It actually took the stuff that I heard you say, and it made me forget it.
You're welcome.
So sit back and enjoy. This is the Dark Star Adventure Cast. The crew of the Scapegoat is deep within an alien quarantine building, long since abandoned and covered by the sands of Sibylline, and recently discovered by Froggy's xeno-archaeologist friend, Vera. Mere moments ago, they encountered a deadly, multi-armed machine intent on their destruction, and narrowly avoided that outcome with good aim and even better teamwork. They now find themselves in a room of goo vats. A large vertical tube at the back of the hall leads downward. The tube is caked with residual goo, and a large crack along its side hints at its former purpose.
All right, so I lean over and I shine my light down the tube. I turn around to the team. Well, looks like the only way forward is down, because we got a whole nother floor down there.
Froggy stops his frantic pacing for a moment and he says, great, that's great, Felix. But, you know, I was kind of thinking that it's probably time that we leave. Right, guys?
I don't see any other exits, y'all.
Unless Felix wants to hit the goo pool again, I don't really see any other option, Froggy.
Yeah. What do you think, Felix? Want to swim with that monster again?
As tempting as it is to get back in that beautiful, beautiful world, I'm good for now, thanks.
Vera walks up and puts a comforting hand on Froggy's shoulder, and she says, I'm sure that was the worst of it, Froggy. I mean, how much security could there even be in a hospital anyways?
Yep. My experience, quite a bit.
Voss's orb lights up from where it's perched on Felix's backpack and says,
I'm more worried about your oxygen. I'm safely back here on the ship. As we've already established multiple times, I'm on the ship. But your oxygen tanks will run out eventually. How are your levels? Are your tanks getting dry yet?
Reporting in here at 85%.
Yeah, mine looks to be at about the same. That's not bad for a couple of hours of exploring. We should be fine.
Dr. Voss, I'm surprised you're still in contact with us through the walls of this place. My comm's been dead since we got in here.
Oh, yes. Well, about that.
So the uplink from the goat to our comms, as you know, Voss, is made special by Omnitech for these long-range missions. And boy, you could probably punch a signal right through a damn mountain. So a little bit of this sand and stone is well within its operating parameters.
Huh. Must be nice.
Haley's standing next to Felix and just looking down the tube and all of this nasty goo that is in it. Guys, I have a really bad feeling about where this goes.
Sorry, Haley, no choice. The doors are closed and we're slowly running out of oxygen. So it's forward or nothing.
Haley, how deep you think this thing is?
Honestly, I can't see the bottom and we can throw rocks.
You know I love throwing some rocks.
Okay.
I was a rock skipping champion. Yeah, I think we could absolutely throw something down there.
So you look around and you grab one of the tiny annihilation bots because suspiciously there's no other debris in this entire place. Whatever makes up these walls, floors, and ceiling is not something that breaks down into pebbles. And when you huck it down there, like you just full on just chuck it as hard as you can. And it's like half a second later, it's like ding, 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 ding.
Oh, yeah. Haley, you hear that? I hear that. Yeah, do you think it might be a little, think it might be jumpable?
Everything's jumpable.
Did you just say you're gonna jump down there?
We're still putting the plan together.
Oh my god, we have rope. You guys used it to pull me out of the goo, remember? We have rope.
So, Felix, you're volunteering to go first?
That's why we have you and Robert, Haley. You are the fighters. You go first. But Thorn and I can help lower one of you down.
Better than jumping. Maybe one of you lower yourselves, lower each other even down into the hole. and give us a good look around. You got a light like Felix's? Anybody else got a light?
Yeah, I think we all have lights.
I brought the rope.
I got rope, end of list. I'm happy. Y'all lower me on down and strap a torch to my face and we'll see what happens.
Sounds good.
That's the spirit.
Thorn and Felix, you know they both have flashlights in their backpacks because you packed their backpacks for them because they cannot be trusted to pack their backpacks.
You both have lights in your bags. All right, they're in the middle pouch right next to the protein pills. So you can just get out the light, tie the rope, and go down the hole.
Froggy says, wait, you brought protein pills?
Froggy, I will hurl you and your cat down this damn hole.
You don't even like the protein pills, Robert. Just give them to me. I'm hungry.
Are you going down? Are you gonna ribbit down this hole? Mm-mm.
No. And that's racist.
Here, you can have one of mine, Froggy, while they get do all this here. I take off my bag and set it down, and I give him some of the protein pills.
Thank you, Felix. Was that so hard, Robert?
Felix, don't feed the animals.
I'm a human.
You nebula brains are wasting oxygen. Would you please just get down there?
Froggy sticks out his tongue from behind his transparent oxygen mask.
I heard that.
And then he flicks off Robert and walks away.
I'm trying to be the bigger man here. Haley, what were you saying?
I think we're ready to go and keep moving forward. Really want to get out of this place.
Yeah, lower me on down.
Okay, so you get tied off and you're being lowered down.
In my mind, I'm rappelling and they are ideally three, but I mean, it's Haley. So, I mean, girl could probably solo belay my ass down.
Yeah, she's the counterweight and your feet are on the wall.
Exactly.
You know what's funny is whether you're first level or 20th level, the logistics of how to climb up and down a wall always takes 10 minutes for every player in every game that I've ever DM'd for.
I kind of think jumping might have been the right choice. I don't know.
Greatest puzzle ever in D&D and any other TTRPG is a 20-foot gap.
You want to take up 20 minutes of time? 20-foot gap. One extra minute per foot of gap.
Suspiciously mundane door.
So I need Haley to roll exert strength and I need Robert to roll exert dex.
Gave me the dex roll. Yes, sir.
Isn't that your jam?
That is indeed my jam. Oh,
this Haley. Is my day. I rolled a 12.
Goddamn. Okay, so we have a 7 from Robert Ross, which beats the DC of 6. And we have a 12 from Haley, which beats the DC of 6 by a lot. So Haley, you just lean back and casually lower Robert down. Robert, you make your way down to the bottom. It's about 30 feet. And you flash the flashlight around. You're in a medium-sized room, round, just like the first room that you ended up with. There's a goo pool. It's a round room about that size. On the floor of this room is a several-inch-high ridge that spirals out from the center of the room like a nautilus shell. A forked pylon of black metal is stuck into the center of the spiral. It looks strikingly similar to the device the void cultists at the truck stop had used. Though while their pylon looks cobbled together and, well, human, this one is utterly foreign with multiple metallic loops, whirls, and impressions that defy immediate understanding. Between the tines at the top of this forked pylon is a small impression, just like the one you saw next to the pool upstairs. There is also a doorway leading to the west. You can't quite see what's in that room. You flash your flashlight and you see some surfaces in there, but it's hard to really make out exactly what they are from the east side of the room where you are currently. And next to you, there is an empty goo tube running horizontally through the wall out of the room to the east, sealed off with an iris hatch on top.
We have a whole nother goo jacuzzi room down here. I'm going to need everybody. I'm definitely needing Felix and Haley here, because we got one of those void tentacle forks I saw Cthulhu through. It was bad. There were tentacles. There's something happening here. I need somebody with way more experience in this. Y'all, can y'all rappel down here?
So you guys hear all that from upstairs, It sounds like the rantings of a madman.
Yeah, so just like a normal Robert conversation then.
Yeah. What you got out of it is that you should probably hurry up and get down to that sub-level before he ruins his afro with floor grease or something. Yeah.
Okay, Robert, just don't touch anything because you don't know what you might set off. We'll be right down.
Felix, you go down next. Make sure he doesn't break anything.
And then I need Vera down there because she's going to be able to help understand some of this stuff.
Vera's like right next to you. She says, I'm ready to go down. Let's do this.
And I'm just standing down there to like catch people. We have Haley on the one end holding the rope and me if they accidentally fall, and I'm catching them like a big old baby.
All right, so I'll make my way down the rope next.
I don't know. I've seen what you do to babies.
And to guys, to Annihilation babies specifically, and also to men simply enjoying the sunrise on the rooftops.
I am part robot, so I'm worried that he's going to get taken over by his desire to kill robots lately.
He is a robot killer, yeah.
I will swing my creaky robot legs around the rope and shimmy my way down.
Okay, go ahead and roll exert dexterity. DC 6.
Oh, baby, I made an 8.
Nice.
Ooh, those creaky robot legs did you justice today. You make your way down to the bottom safely.
Damn, you look good when you back that thing up. You a fine looking robot when you back that thing up.
Jesus robot. Christ.
Robert, stop it.
And I'll re-explain the room in a bit more detail when everyone gets down there. Hearing it through the lens of what Robert saw is probably not the best way to describe it. He's like, there's a purple dragon down there. I don't know what's going on.
All right, Vera, you're good. Come on down. Then Froggy, then you. We don't want to leave you up there alone.
Okay, so Vera hurries forward. She grabs onto the rope, and she is going to attempt to exert dex her way down. She gets it with an 8, so she slides her way down. You wanted Froggy next?
Yeah, I don't want him left up there by himself.
You still have Thorn up there, too.
Yeah, but like, if we just leave him and Haley, then like, Haley's not going to force... Like, just get Thorn needs to force him down.
Froggy does not get any bonus. However, he rolled a 9, but he gets a minus 1 because he doesn't have exert, so he's at an 8. So he makes it down just fine, surprisingly. But he stumbles at the bottom, and he kind of like falls into Robert's arms, who catches him.
This is one time, Froggy.
He looks up at you and he says, get your hands off me. And he blushes?
Yeah, you know you left it.
I look over at Haley. Haley, how you getting down?
I'm going to jump.
I had a feeling you were going to say that.
Yeah, jumping and punching. I'm going to find some joy here.
I just kind of shake my head. Shake my head and I grab the rope and I say, well, I guess that's up to you. And I start climbing.
Okay, so exert dex. And then afterwards, can you please look up the falling damage and what that's going to take?
I got a 7.
Nice. Okay, that hits the DC of 6 just fine. So you are down there.
1d6 damage for every 3 meters fallen under standard gravity.
Okay, every 3 meters?
Yeah. Although we're not on standard, we're not standard grav, are we?
We're at 0.8 gravity. So if you jump down there, you have the potential of taking 2d6 damage.
And I'm also going to make a case for myself here. This is the kind of shit that my character is literally trained for and made to do. I am not Felix throwing himself down like a sack of bones into the bottom of this like tube.
And Robert could catch her.
I am an actual tactical person here.
Oh, no, I refuse to catch Haley. Haley got this.
I'm going to be covered in goo.
So you're making a case for you're a soldier, so you should ignore fall damage.
Not that I should ignore fall damage, that I am going to be a little bit more prepared and trained in how to land to prevent damage.
But you are jumping off a 3-story building.
Yeah,
that's
true.
I
am jumping off a 3-story building.
I'm going to say that, yeah, I'm going to say anyone can attempt to do this, but it really comes down to your exert role, which you've trained up, right? Don't you have a +1 in exert?
No, I haven't done anything with exert.
Okay, so maybe you're not trained up for this.
How do you feel about that, physical
that 12
saving throw?
That I got earlier was amazing. Yeah, I could do a physical saving throw.
Does that feel house rulesy, Brian? You tell me.
It does a little.
Okay, so Haley, you would normally just take 2d6 damage if you jump down there, but I know there's a case to be made for that you've trained for this. So for this one time only.
Yes.
I'm going to let you jump down there and roll a physical saving throw. I don't know why you're not just using the rope, but...
I'm saving the rope.
Are you bringing it down with you? Would you have to get back out of here, potentially? Maybe?
The only way to go is forward.
As far as we know, yeah.
Either way, Haley grabs the rope. She just takes it with her. She does not have time to deal with Notch. She is a brute force girl.
You guys are fucking lunatics.
And you know what? She jumps down.
God, you give a mouse a cookie. Am I right, guys?
I rolled a 6.
Okay, well, 6 is obviously not good enough to beat your saving throw. So you take 2d6 damage, and that is 5.
Oof.
But now you can go ahead and roll perform constitution.
Yeah, I want to see that superhero landing.
I love doing like a skill and naming like a random attribute that doesn't normally make sense for it.
5.
Okay, so you just barely miss it. So you land, everyone grimaces because you land so hard, and then your face just crumples. And then you like get a hold of yourself again, but everyone saw the pain on your face. And then you just limp out of the tube a little bit.
Goo threw me off.
Froggy runs up and he's like, oh my God, Haley, are you okay?
Is Percival okay? Froggy, worry about your own stuff. I got this.
You mean my cat? Are you threatening my cat? I just wanted to know if you were okay. Why is everyone so mean to me? And he walks off sulking.
All right, so I didn't even notice Haley coming down because I am engrossed in this chamber. So tell me what I see.
Felix, does it accurately feel like what I described to you?
Yeah, we swing our lights around and see if we can make sense of what Robert said.
I will re-describe the room so that everyone can remember what I said, because what Robert Ross said is...
It actually took the stuff that I heard you say and it made me forget it.
You're welcome.
You are in a medium-sized round room. Starting in the center of the floor and spiraling out is a ridge about 3 inches high. And it spirals all the way out to the walls and forms a Nautilus spiral. In the center of that spiral is a forked pylon of black metal. It looks very similar to the one the Void cultists had at the truck stop, but theirs was like very human looking. It was like sleek and it made sense. This one is like utterly foreign and alien. It has all these metallic loops and whorls and impressions and, you know, weirdness bolted onto it. It defies immediate understanding, but maybe with research and time, someone could figure out what all this is for. But most importantly, at the top, between the forked tines is an impression that looks exactly like the one that was next to the goo pool upstairs.
Like a bundt cake?
No.
It's the one that Voss can fit.
Oh,
in.
The Voss hole, yeah.
The Voss hole.
I'll call it something else in the future.
There is one exit from this room. On the west wall is a doorway leading into another room where you can see maybe like a couple vats in there. It's kind of hard to tell from over here. You'd have to walk a little bit closer. And also here on the east wall is a horizontal goo tube with an iris aperture hatch on it that's sealed. But the horizontal goo tube is completely empty and it runs out through the east wall, which for those of you keeping track, puts it outside of the immediate facility because the front door to this place is to the west.
Mm.
So this goo tube leaves the facility.
It's empty, you said, empty of goo, but it is closed. So is it closed on the far end, you mean, and it's open on this side? That's how I can tell it's empty? Or is the aperture also transparent?
It's a transparent tube with an aperture on top of it.
Oh, it's on top. I see.
And goo tube is empty and runs through the wall. So you can only see this part of the goo tube. You can't see where it leads to.
Okay.
So now that you're all in here and flashing your flashlights around, you run them along the ceiling and you notice that there are more iris hatches, just like at the end of this goo tube, dotting the 15-foot high ceiling. They are obviously connecting this room to the vat chamber above with a single iris hatch below each of those individual vats up above. Grooves are cut into the ceiling. The grooves are about a finger's breadth wide and several inches deep. And the groove runs underneath each of these apertures.
Let's not open those. As I'm going around the room, I'm trying to make a couple observations. One, did lights automatically turn on? Because they did in other parts of the facility.
There does not seem to be any lights in this room, at least none that automatically turn on.
Okay. I take out my data pad and I'm kind of, as I've had some luck so far, looking at different electronic interference or signals from the robots above. Am I picking up any signals or interference on my data slab?
No. If there's anything down here that could cause interference, it's inert.
Well, I'm not picking anything up. And this, I don't know, this part of the facility seems abandoned or dead somehow. Although, I don't know, Voss, do you want to give this a try? And I gesture towards the pit.
Absolutely. Yes, lock me in.
All right, so I'll orient her orb correctly because I know there's like a little spinner disc at the bottom and place her in the indentation.
So after just a few moments, she says,
yeah, it's quite interesting. Everything is disconnected. It's unpowered almost, but I can kind of see what the intention is here. There's a control for filling up the tube, the one that leads off to the east. I can't open the aperture on it, but once it's filled up with goo, it looks like the aperture opens up on its own. But it's unpowered, so I can't do that. And there's something else here. It feels like the digital ocean that we encountered upstairs. Some sort of connection to it, perhaps.
Be careful, Doc. We don't know what's in there. So it seems like we need power. Any hints on that, where a power source might be?
Yeah, maybe it's behind this door. So I go over there and I shine my light beyond the door and see what's on the other side.
So this west door, it's 6 feet tall, but strangely enough, it's only 2 feet wide. And it leads into a cramped room with a low 6 foot ceiling. At the center of the room are two empty cylindrical vats, just like the ones that are upstairs, but much larger and completely lacking in goo. Each vat also has a drainage aperture leading to a sphincter-like formation in the floor, probably an alien drain. Both apertures for each of the vats are currently open. Suspended above each vat is a cluster of metallic, multi-legged devices that hang from the ceiling like mechanical spiders. Each bristles with an assortment of cutting blades, probing arms, and diagnostic tools mounted at the tips of their segmented limbs. On the wall next to you, Thorn, is a glob, or a goo bunt cake, as we were calling it on the first floor. And one last detail, mounted to the ceiling is a single cylindrical vat of goo, just like the ones that are upstairs. On its top and bottom are iris hatches, so things could be dropped in and things could be dropped out of it. It also is mounted to a groove in the ceiling, exactly like the grooves that are in the spiral room. The groove in this room runs directly over both of the vats and out the east wall, but just simply stops at that wall. There's no actual way for it to move on into the spiral room.
It's like in this room, we got some giant vats and some kind of less than friendly looking machinery. But take a look at all these grooves. I don't know. Vera, Voss, Felix. You think there's any significance? Look how they go around out of all of these vats. And there's more goo up there in the ceiling too, in another one. I have to think that, I don't know, it's all connected somehow. What do you think?
Well, y'all come on in here, but I'd like to clear the room first. Make sure there's no hazards. And I just scout around the room, make sure there's nothing that's going to attack them.
I will assist with that, if I can.
So, Haley, you're assisting Robert. Go ahead and roll Notice Wisdom.
I rolled a 5.
Okay. You unfortunately are unable to assist him.
Mm.
But Robert, you don't get a +1, Robert. But go ahead and roll your Notice with your +1.
Intelligence or wisdom?
Wisdom, please.
Oh, and because I'm so wise, I rolled a 4.
So both of you guys kind of poke around for a little while, but you're not really paying that much attention, and you don't find anything.
Everything looks safe. This crazy cutter bot seems safe enough. Maybe don't poke around it, but like maybe do. I don't know. Come on in, y'all.
Wait. Did somebody say crazy machines?
Yeah, the kind with scary blades and pokey drills.
Oh, you're speaking my language. Let me take a look at those.
That's your language?
So, Felix, you go into this room, and what, you want to examine these two spider-like machines?
Yeah, I want to get a closer look at them. I'm trying to basically understand, like, are they functional, and what is their function?
Are you looking for a podcast that is the perfect blend of paranormal and pop culture?
Starting off with spooky stuff where we talk cryptids and ghosts.
And then we have our pop culture section where we sometimes have celebrity guests.
Whoa.
Yeah, do you want more?
Boy, howdy.
There's always genre news and all kinds of celebrity deaths. All kinds of it. If you're a celebrity and you die, we're going to talk about it.
I actually was hoping for UFOs.
Well, bet your ass we got that too at the end.
Earthling Entertainment. New episodes every Thursday.
Make sure to check us out anywhere you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, real quick. If you're enjoying the show and you want to stay 2 weeks ahead of the story, the Patreon is how you do it. $5 a month gets you every episode, every Star Master log, and every SWN rules breakdown with Brian. all before they hit the public feed. The Star Master logs especially. That's where I get into what was actually planned versus what happened in the episodes, the scenes I improvised on the spot, and what the players did that I didn't see coming. It's a behind-the-screen version of everything you are hearing right now, and if that sounds like your sort of thing, head on over to patreon.com/darkstaradventurecast, because the next episode is already out. So they are these spider-like mechanical beings that are hanging above these empty vats. They have cutting blades, probing arms, and diagnostic tools mounted on the ends of their limbs.
Alien seems redundant, but all very alien. But based on what we know of this place and what we saw upstairs, I think these are some kind of med bots. Now, they might be a bit, more extreme than some of the things we're familiar with, but perhaps there was some kind of disease that required the excising of limbs in order to stave it off.
You think that the vats upstairs connect down here, and then they perform some kind of weird surgery?
I do. And then this might be, and I point to the tube running on the wall, this might be some kind of waste disposal tube.
Waste. Waste disposal. That's the word you're going to use.
Yeah. What else? Yeah, for waste. Once something stops being useful, it's waste. Haley, did you notice that weird thing in the other room that looks like the thing that was attached to the void?
Yep, still kind of processing that whole thing.
I say this to distract from the weird look that Thorne's giving me that I don't understand.
Yes, that is the look I'm giving you.
And Haley was trying to help, obviously, with Robert's look around the room, but was most certainly distracted by the giant potential portal-looking device.
Every 2 seconds, you look back over your shoulder at it. That's why you didn't roll very well. You were trying to look around, but you're like, what? Is it still there?
Vera moves into the room.
Oh, wow. Wow. This is really amazing, guys. I mean, we obviously can't take this with us, but, or really anything here, which kind of sucks, but this is incredible. If we can hang on to this place, we could really make a lot of money.
Yeah, one can hope.
Vera,
mm-hmm.
Think right now we're focused on getting out.
She takes a quick glance at her oxygen meter and she says, I mean, I'm still at 75%.
It's not been that long since we've been in here, Vera.
I know.
I feel like we still need a way out. That doesn't help me with out.
Froggy says, yeah, Vera, you know, we're not all brave xeno-archaeologists, you know?
Froggy, if you're not feeling brave, you're not going to like what I think is the way out.
Froggy, just remember to keep your breath slow and even. If you feel yourself getting anxious while we are down here, just think of exercises to help you calm down. What's your oxygen at right now?
I'm feeling anxious.
Think of Percival.
I'm at 73%.
Okay.
Don't feel anxious.
Vera was at 75%, but I'm at 73%. That means I'm using too much oxygen. Am I going to die?
No.
Yeah, well, I'm not giving you mine.
We got you. There's a space for you on the scapegoat. We're going to get you back to it.
Okay. Listen, guys, I don't want to lie to you, but this is really bad. We're all going to die down here, and I'm pretty sure we're all going to die.
Froggy, lock it down.
Seriously.
Lock it down.
He's having a panic attack, and you're like, lock it down. He's like, that's what my dad used to say to me.
I go over to him, and I grab him by the shoulders from behind, and I'm like massaging him. You're going to be all right, champ.
No kind.
we're gonna figure this out.
Froggy, name 5 things you can see.
I see an alien spiral and an alien black thing, alien vats, and there's alien things everywhere. Yep. This isn't good, guys.
Yeah, all good.
I can't point to any normal things in here. There's nothing normal.
Froggy, I've got a plan. Don't worry. We're going to get out of here.
A normal plan? Please tell me it's not going to involve going to a third level of alien stuff.
What are 4 things that you can touch?
he puts his hand on Thorne's hand.
Aww.
Who's massaging him.
There, buddy.
In this episode of the Dark Star Adventure Cast, the crew is given the the difficult, nigh impossible task of calming down a panic-stricken Froggy. Never has an anxiety attack slowed down a session as much as this.
Can we give him a hypo spray?
Oh my god.
So Froggy, you chill, we good. Okay. Now how are we gonna get through this here door?
Yeah, Felix, I want to hear this plan of yours.
So I'm pretty sure what we need to do is fill this tube with goo and get in.
Sweet Jesus.
Because I'm pretty sure this is a transport tube, and hopefully it leads to a way out.
Vera goes and kneels next to the empty tube and she says, transport tube? What do you mean?
For like moving stuff between sections of the facility.
Huh. It is very large. So what, you think this fills up with goo and then there's like a current?
Could be. Or we propel ourselves along. I mean, you can breathe in this stuff. It's fine. It's oxygenated.
Incredible. Yes. I mean, I wanted my chance in the goo pool all along.
But first things first, we gotta fill it with goo first. And maybe that giant pylon tuning fork thing in the other room can help.
Voss says,
I don't want to interject too much, but I take offense to the continual use of the word goo.
Oh, you got something better?
Most likely a nanofluid.
That's a good point.
Vera says, I'm gonna call it goo. Nanofluid's too long.
I'm gonna call it nanofluid.
We need a shorthand. Goo, goo, goo. We all agree goo.
Goo.
I don't care what we call it.
I do, by the way, want to collect a sample of the nanofluid at some point.
Yeah.
Okay. You gotta get some first.
Yeah, I know. Maybe some of the dried stuff or when we fill this tube, but I am gonna go for some. All right. Well, I mean, the only lead is this thing, and I gesture to the weird pylon thing.
It needs to be powered. That's all I know.
I mean, I don't like looking at this thing. It's making me uncomfortable the longer I look at it.
A sob escapes Froggy's throat.
Froggy.
I miss my cat.
Who wants to get up close and personal with this weird thing? And I'm not talking about Froggy.
Are you talking about the fork?
Hey.
Yeah, Froggy, I'm going to hold your hand real quick. We are together on this.
Froggy, three things you can hear.
I hear Robert lying to me. I hear Felix insulting me and calling me weird. And I can hear Thorne's loud breathing as he is still massaging my shoulders and it's starting to get awkward.
You are present in the moment, so.
Okay, Felix, all eyes are on you.
Well, I don't want to run this thing. I was thinking that, Haley, if you want to get, you've got some kind of connection to this thing from the before, maybe you're drawn to it somehow.
It is the crazy pitchfork.
Go over to the crazy pitchfork and I'm near it. Do I like sense or feel anything? I'm assuming this is like an inactive portal.
This is all completely inactive. Feels shitty being down here. You feel very much not at ease, but not any worse so, except for your own personal anxiety when you get close to the pylon.
Mm-hmm. That's not necessarily caused by the pylon. That's just me being like, or Haley being like, re-experiencing this. Yeah.
Exactly.
And what about the grooves?
What about the grooves, Thorne? I mean,
what about the grooves?
Well, you tell me. I don't know, but they're...
I'm not an alien archaeologist. Those don't look like any tech I'm familiar with.
Don't they look like traces to you?
But traces to and from what, Thorne?
A power source to something that requires power.
All right, well, if you can open up a door to power, let me know.
Have we investigated the bunt cake? I heard there was a bunt cake.
Yeah, would you guys like me to re-explain the grooves as well?
Yes.
So the grooves are a few inches deep and about a finger's breadth wide. The groove runs around the perimeter of the room underneath every single one of the apertures. In the other room, there is a vat, just like the ones upstairs, hanging off of the ceiling, off of one of those grooves. And that groove goes over both of the vats in that room and then bumps into the east wall.
Well, y'all, is there any way we can... These might be transfers within the wall we might be able to utilize.
Could be. It could be that's the way the goo is funneled into here. I'm sorry, the nanofluid.
Nano goo.
How do you think we can power up those nano whatevers?
We got this guy right here, and I point my thumb at the bunt cake on the wall. We've had luck so far with these controlling things. I can give it a try.
Better than standing here waiting for our oxygen to deplete. Have at it.
I'm at like what? 65 at this point. I would think I've been breathing a little heavy.
You're a big guy, Robert. I use less because I have half a body.
That's true. Yeah, you're at 80% still.
Yeah, I don't have to oxygenate my legs. So I will go over and poke my hand into the nanofluid doorknob.
Okay. You feel that sensation of your hand being cradled by a giant hammock with each individual finger cradled by a slightly smaller hammock.
I close my eyes and kind of try to feel my way around it. You know, I had luck upstairs understanding that I could control the little bot. So I'm trying to like identify like an on switch, like power, you know, something that feels like it's off, but I can turn on.
Okay. So instead of just randomly moving your hand around like Haley did on that first wall, you're trying to like feel and figure it out.
Yep.
So go ahead and roll program wisdom.
I got a 7.
So you feel that it can control things around you, just like the glob from the first floor.
So it can control things around me. Can I turn lights on? Or can I turn power on?
You can't. There's nothing for power, but you are able to twitch your fingers and get a soft glow to suffuse both rooms down here so everyone can turn off their flashlights. There is now a luminous blue glow coming out of the wall, ceiling, and floor.
That's something. Can I fill the tube with goo?
Yeah, feel around for like an udder.
You...
Jesus.
I make a milking motion with my hand instead of...
The adventure rejects you and you are no longer in this campaign. you search around and try to identify what you can only name as a subroutine that would do something like that. But you get the sense that the globs really only affect the walls or like the structure of this place.
In that case, then, as I'm doing that, is there another door I can open? Because I know that Haley was able to open a door before. Can I remove parts of the wall?
You feel like there is a pre-programmed opening that you can open, but it's in the other room.
And I can't control the other room from here.
You feel like you could, but the opening just doesn't make any sense. It's a small opening towards the ceiling on the wall.
All right, well, can somebody go in the other room for me and let me know what you see when I do this?
Sure. What are you doing?
I was like, does that get me closer or farther from my spiral portal to go into the other room?
Closer.
Yeah, I'm standing here, I guess.
So the hole I'm about to open is in the ceiling in the room with the spiral thing, Haley.
Yeah, it's near the ceiling on the wall.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm currently in the room with the spider robots. Thorn and Robert are now in the room with the tuning fork.
So you twitch your fingers and everyone in the other room, you see like a tiny hole appear right where the track hits against the west wall, which is the wall that's shared with the room that Felix is in. And as Felix moves his fingers more, the hole kind of opens further and then contracts.
What does it look like?
It seems like you're opening some kind of hole in the wall. It's pretty high up, though.
As you it's like 15 feet up. And as you flash your flashlight around, it looks more like a tunnel.
Maybe it's like some kind of tunnel.
How big is it, Thorn?
I'd say it's like... How big is it?
Well, it's oscillating because he's messing around with it. But the largest you've seen it get is like 2 feet by 2 feet.
It's like maybe 2 feet, but you won't stop changing it.
Sorry, it's addictive. It's like a little fidget. So maybe we could get Voss up there.
You think most of us could fit up there, Thorn? Or just a little thing?
I mean, if you, like, get on Haley's shoulders and then I get on your shoulders, then maybe I could look and see in there, but actually getting in there, that's another story. I could roll Voss down the tunnel, I guess. So it looks like it leads to above your room. Right at the end of the track, even.
All right, so I'm going to leave the aperture open as wide as it can. But before I disconnect from the glob, I want to check one more thing. Do I have the ability to manipulate like the atmosphere in this room? Can I like increase the levels of oxygen?
You cannot.
Okay.
It seems like the glob can only control the structure.
Is there any chance you can you move the grooves?
What? Move the grooves?
Yeah, or turn this...
The room itself.
Like spiral in any way.
You cannot turn the spiral. You cannot move the grooves themselves. You can always seem to move the structure of the room.
I mean, it is possible that my hand is not the same as the hand of the creatures who built this place. I might not be equipped to actually manipulate everything. I think I've done what I can. Can I, like, manipulate the height of the ceiling in either room?
Yes. You start to move your hand, but you can feel a lot of resistance as you try to, like, mess with the ceiling itself. It almost feels like the strength of your fingers aren't enough to do this task.
I'm gonna get both my hands in there.
With both your hands working in tandem, the ceiling and indeed the floor as well become movable.
Oh, here we go. Now we got something. And I start moving the floor in the other room that they're in.
Oh, you're definitely doing something now.
Oh, all right. Well, I can move. This is weird. This is like nothing I've ever felt before. I can move the ceiling and floor in each room. I'm just going to need y'all to tell me where to put this.
Well, you want to get the hole you open lined up with the groove in your room.
All right. I'll move the ceiling in their room down to see if I can get it to line up with the ceiling in the room I'm in.
Felix, you're bringing the ceiling down. Please tell me that you have good control over bringing the ceiling down.
Yep, sure.
It's getting pretty low. I don't know. You're almost there.
Felix, stop that. You're gonna crush me. I'm on this pylon and I can't move on my own. I mean, you're gonna crush my camera because I'm back on the ship, safe and sound.
Yeah, hold on.
Right,
okay.
Right.
So I'll stop that one at about 8 feet. And then bring the ceiling into my room up to level it.
And you left the 2x2 foot hole open.
Yes.
So you see, as you raise your ceiling up to 8 feet, you slowly see the hole revealed. And then you line it up until the two tracks click together.
All right. And then I'll step back, kind of exhausted, with my hands out of the nanofluid. Oh, damn, that was hard. Programming is not usually this taxing.
Vera is right next to you, and she says, well, you've still got to, like, do the rest of this.
Yeah, I know. I needed a minute, Vera. Jesus.
I'm sorry. I just want to see it. I got to see it. This is so cool. And then in the other room, you hear Voss say,
it is quite cool, isn't it?
The two Xeno professions are psyched.
I know. Meanwhile, I'm just wrist deep in goo.
Been there, done that.
If you want to know what I think, I think it's mildly cool, I guess. I don't know.
Well, what's the next move? What do y'all think? Well,
the vat in the ceiling in your room. It's full of goo.
All right, well, Vera, you want to see some more cool stuff? I guess let's see what can happen. So I'm going to put both my hands back in the nanofluid control panel. And the only other thing that I see right now is this other vat that's in this room that I'm in that's like got some goo in it already. I want to see how I can manipulate that.
You can't directly move the vat.
Okay.
But it is in that channel in the ceiling.
Hmm.
And you can control the ceiling.
Only raise and lower, though, or can I, like, tilt it?
Oh, you better believe you can tilt it.
I let gravity do my moving.
Well, all right, now this is getting weird as I start kind of tilting the ceiling around.
You tilt the ceiling, and it causes the vat to move towards the hole. And then you're like, oh, whoa, 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 you slow it down by tilting the other way.
Yeah.
But before long, based off of your previous programming role, you kind of get into an interesting double-handed movement where you're kind of undulating the ceiling like waves, and you're pushing the vat forward into the next room. So it's less of tilting the entire ceiling and more about creating bulges in the ceiling.
Hmm. This is weird stuff. Haley, will you let me know when I'm near one of those other apertures?
Yes, I say, tentatively, looking out for anything that's changing in the environment.
So you bulge the vat out. It's currently already filled with goo, and you reach one of the apertures.
You've reached one of the apertures.
All right, what am I over right now?
Just the spiral. The spiral covers the entire room.
So, Voss said we've got to create some power, right?
By dropping stuff presumably onto the spiral. Everything in this room seems connected to that somehow.
Yeah, and this nanofluid is pretty spectacular.
Well, Vera says, hold on, wait. You're going to just drop goo? That doesn't make any sense. Wouldn't there already be goo in the spiral?
I think we have to end up lining up the spiral. I mean, this seems like a fluid system. Now that you can move the ceiling in full topsy-turvy left, right, undulating patterns, we might want to just make sure that we line this whole system up.
Froggy is kind of running his finger along the ridge of the spiral, and he says, Vera, I think they're probably right. Just like in the tube over there, there's like some scum from like old goo. Maybe it just dried up. Vera gets down and she kind of like, she rubs the spiral as well. And she says, I don't know. And she brings it over to Dr. Voss. What do you think, Dr. Voss?
I think that's actually perhaps the first accurate observation ever recorded from young Reginald. Well done, Froggy.
Well, in that case, I'm going to open this vat, and you all might want to come in here when that happens.
Yes, sir.
Everyone piles into the next room, crowds around Felix as he vigorously moves his two hands inside of the glob.
Don't look at me while I do this.
And then you what?
So I'm trying to like basically open the aperture leading out of the vat that we just moved into that other room.
You don't seem to have like full control over it, but as you're like undulating the ceiling kind of bulges out and makes direct contact with the vat. And when that happens, it sort of like adheres, almost like magnetically seals. And the aperture on the top opens. Now, this vat is already full of goo. So the goo that is in whatever vat up above can't really drain into it.
Mm-hmm.
The aperture on the bottom of the vat stays closed.
Mm.
What happens if I punch the aperture?
So are you...
No, like, legit.
It's 8 feet tall because Felix has lowered the ceiling.
I'm going to get onto Robert's shoulders.
I can just lower the ceiling more.
Yeah, lower the ceiling.
The ceiling's 8 feet tall, but the vat is already 2 feet long. It is at her height. We don't need any human pyramid. You can still get on Robert's shoulders if you want.
Perfect. I punch the vat.
Yeah, I'll be like squatting, like shuffling on my knees for this.
Our goal is getting this vat to drip down onto the spiral, basically, right?
Yeah.
I like how excited everyone got when she said, I can get on Robert's shoulders. It was an explosion of everyone chattering. I had no idea what was happening.
Punch the vat.
Okay, you punch the vat. Boom! It's actually, it feels indestructible.
But I just shot up a bunch of stairs.
And, well, they cracked a little bit from a bullet.
I pull out my rifle.
After you punch it, you're kind of like eye level with it. And you're right next to this vat now, and you realize there's a little glob on the side of it.
Haley pushes the button. She is very overwhelmed right now. There's a lot going on in this room. There's a lot of goo.
So you stick your digit into the glob, and you swish it around a little bit, and the aperture opens up underneath, splashing nano goo all over your feet and all over the spiral. Then, all of the goo from the vat on the first floor rushes into the vat after it, into the empty space, straight through, right to the floor, and fills up the spiral even more. So two full vats have now splashed onto the spiral, and it seems to be about a fourth full. However...
Wait, no. Felix, what did you call this before?
Nanofluid?
All right, guys, we are now changing our terminology. I am not covered in goop or goo. Or glob. It's nanofluid.
How does it react with the spiral?
When it goes into the spiral, it like perfectly fills in the ridges and then rushes straight to the center of the spiral, butting up against it as hard as it can. Nothing else seems to happen. However, when this happens, when the aperture opens and goo starts to splash all over the place, just wet and wild, you hear a mechanical whirring noise.
I knew it.
Shocked. You turn to find the two mechanical arachnids on the ceiling starting in fits and bursts to life. They begin to thrash and cut and probe inside the empty goo vats before turning blue lasered eyes upon you. From the other room, Voss says,
"You have to get out. They recognize you as threats."
I thought those were like shower heads. They just happened to look like spiders because they were alien.
alien shower heads with saws. They have really hard hair.
Well, you know, shower heads or killer murderous spider robots. Either way, we're going to have to deal with them next time because we are out of time for tonight. So our cast today has been Doja as Robert, Brian as Thorn, Scott as Felix, and of course, Stephanie as Haley. And then there's me, Star Master Jeff, as everyone and everything else. We have merch now, so head on over to darkstaradventures.com where you can rep Scrapjacks, grab a Wafisa Latte, or gear up for your next pint at Rogers Billiards. And over on our Patreon, I am now dropping my complete and only lightly edited notes from each and every session. These notes are the exact documents I use to plan and run my games and are full of extra lore, missed opportunities, and future plans. If you'd like to know how I actually run this game, those logs are something you are not going to want to miss. So head on over to patreon.com/darkstaradventurecast to scan the feed. Well, that's it for our episode today. Thanks so much for listening. We really, really appreciate each and every one of you. It's been so amazing to watch our little podcast grow and to talk to all of the people out there who have enjoyed listening to us. We really appreciate it, and we cannot wait to keep exploring the Viridian Expanse with you. We'll take it easy, and we'll catch you on the next one. If you want to hear every episode before the public feed, the Patreon is how you do it. $5 a month gets you everything 2 weeks early. The main episodes, the Star Master logs, and even the SWN rules breakdown that Brian records to go with each and every episode. Head on over to patreon.com/darkstaradventurecast, because the next episode is already out.